Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tite.
And I'm Bonnie North. Milwaukee area musician Mike Mangione plays on stages around the world, both headlining and sharing the limelight with other musicians. But in his spare time, some of those other musicians and other artists share their lives with him in a podcast series he calls Time and the Mystery.
In turn, Mike joins us every month to share parts of those conversations. Today, he brings us a conversation with a guy we've had plenty of conversations with as well. Mike Mangione, welcome back to Lake Effect.
It's pretty good to be here.
So you bring us a lot of conversations in this segment with people that we would love to have in the studio someday, but we have never. Mm. But for today...
Special day.
It's because
Milwaukee day.
You have... It's very meta. You have spoken with someone who has been a fairly frequent guest on Lake Effect over the years, Peter Mulvey, Milwaukee singer-songwriter.
Staple.
Yeah, yes. And a good friend of Lake Effect and a good friend of yours.
Yep.
So I'm curious to get your take on the kinds of things that you talked about that we might not talk about in, you know, I hate to use this term, just another studio session with Peter mm-hmm. Mulvey. You, as a musician, speaking with a musician, got into kind of almost a generational conversation.
Yeah. So there was a unique guest for me because not only are we friends, but also we have a history together in our home, you know, where we're from. And so, you know, right away, I start telling. And that's the nice thing about these interviews is I get to say things I never would say to them anyway. So I said, hey, you know, Peter, you know, we just discovered that you're 10 years older than me. When I was at Marquette University, I remember you and Willie were like the guys ahead. And I remember like just being inspired by what Willie Porter, by being inspired by what you guys were doing. And we start talking about like the Milwaukee lineage, and he, you know, Paul Sebar inspired Willie Porter and Peter Mulvey inspired Chris Porterfield and me. And then now we have like the, you know, Trapper Shep and Brett Newsky. And so, you know, there's just this lineage of like 10 years, everybody's 10 years just kind of looking up the ladder. And we then get to the point where we depressingly discuss how utterly replaceable we are as musicians and, you know, ultimately human beings. No, as musicians. We're not replaceable as human beings, as musicians.
I utterly concur. I mean, first of all, it's more beautiful to view it that way, and it'll be more fun and more fulfilling to view it that way. But I've had that brought forcibly home to me twice in two very different sets of circumstances. A friend of mine, Anais Mitchell, who's a great, great songwriter, and she wrote this thing called Hades Town. She started it as a play.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a retelling of the Orpheus myth, of the old Greek myth.
You did this in Cambridge.
Yeah.
Okay, you told me about
that. Right,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So my pal Anais Mitchell, she is a steam shovel of an artist. Like, she got a hold of this thing, and she wrote this whole play, this folk opera based on it. Mm. And then that got turned into a record. Greg Brown played Hades, perfect Hades.
Yeah.
So they did this record, and the record had its life in the sun. And then she took to touring it, and she would just go to a town and assemble the local singers. So in Boston, I got to be Orpheus.
Yeah.
And there was an orchestra, you know, trombones and violas and violins. And we performed the songs without really the acting and the libretto. And it sold out. It was just people jammed around us.
Mm.
And it's some of the most powerful artwork that I've ever been in. You know, like everyone sang their roles really well. And it's a cosmic bit of writing. But it was on the third day, I'm sitting there amongst all these artists that I totally revere. Like, mm-hmm. I love every artist that was involved in it. And it suddenly struck me, we're in Harvard Square. Mm. There's been a university. There's been a university on this location for 400 years.
Mm-hmm.
We're not the first people to take the Orpheus myth and make art out of it.
Right.
You know, like Anais is probably in that time span, it's probably like the 8th, 9th, 14th person to really kick that piece of art back up into combustion.
Yeah.
And I had this eerie sense of like how replaceable I am.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the exact same feeling that I had from a little while back when I was playing a farmer's market. So I go and I set my little lamp down. And I'm in the corner of this market, and there's all these farmers, some of whom are, you know, Hmong, and some of whom are like rural, I guess they're all rural Wisconsin people, mm-hmm. but some of whom would be recognizable as rural Wisconsin people 100 years ago, and some of whom are startling new additions, but undeniably, mm-hmm. the farmers, the land, the market, the people, everyone's walking around, little kids in strollers, and I'm just some dude singing songs. Like, it's not my show. It's not about me.
Yeah.
And I had that same feeling, like, this guy that I'm being for these 2 hours, this has been happening for 6,000 years. This happened in Sumeria. This happened in Kazakhstan. Mm-hmm. You know, this happened in Ethiopia. Like, the people on the land get the food from the land and bring the food to the village. And then the villagers walk around and some yahoo sings some songs. And
some minstrel.
Right.
Entertain us.
Right. I love that feeling. Not only am I insignificant, I'm just an iteration. Like, you could just plug me into any slot. It's fine.
Oh, man. I'm like getting scared of my own skin now. I'm like, so, all right.
So aside from this notion of being replaceable as musicians, mm-hmm. you tend to ask people some bigger, more heavy philosophical questions, although I guess that's heavy and philosophical in its own way.
It's not very difficult with Peter Mulvey, and that's why I was so excited to actually have this amount of time with him. And he is just a deep thinker, and he's aware. And so we got to a point where we right away started talking about like specifically in this segment, we're talking about compassion and honesty, which he's saying is more important than the traditional good and evil, left and right. Like, things can be too polarizing, and there's a bigger narrative that we need to understand if we're actually going to have a conversation with each other. And so what I love about this is that it shows you guys, like, this depth that he goes in his music is how he goes in his conversation, is how he is in his heart, is who he is as a person. And so I wanted to share this part because it just kind of shows the Peter that we all love, you know.
I mean, I go in with my idea that I want to reach people and mm-hmm. I want to connect. And I want to – the two things that most concern me in life are compassion and honesty. And I feel like those – we're always going to be tugged between two things. Mm-hmm. I feel like being tugged between good and evil – is not as helpful as being tugged between compassion and honesty.
Hmm. Well, explain. What do you, speak into that a little bit.
Because good and evil they're just not very reliable. I don't think there's a lot of real evil in the world.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, maybe that's the best way to put it. I'm a political lefty for whatever that's worth in the United States of America, for whatever that's worth. I don't think Trump is evil. I don't think Bush is evil. I don't even think Cheney's evil, although on my bad days I would be convinced. The reason I don't think that is I don't think it's very useful to think that.
Mm-hmm. You think it's polarizing to have such?
Yeah. Precisely.
Yeah.
Like as soon as there's a them and they're evil, whatever they are, like if you're a liberal, then maybe the conservatives are evil. If you're a Brewers fan, maybe the Cubs are evil. Like this
it's
does
dangerous.
Not it right. And it and you see it all over. Like the, you know, where it all dies is when the police consider criminals evil. Mm-hmm. You know? And look, it's hard to be a cop.
Yeah.
I'm sure. But once you consider a group of people as evil or even potentially evil, you're lost. You can't help them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, similarly, it's not going to help you if you think cops are evil. I think we just get hung up on in-group and out-group.
I know what you're saying, that it can be it's like saying left and right. You know, for political, like, I can't stand those terms because you're talking about beliefs, not like sides.
Yes.
You know, and so when you set these two sides and it's like, which one are you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like, I don't think like that. You know,
yes.
I what topic do you want to talk about? Let's have a conversation and see, you know, see where I fall.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a tension between good and evil, but I think that tension hurls us into storytelling.
Mm.
And that storytelling doesn't really have a good editor and doesn't have a good fact checker. And all of a sudden, we're the good guy. I mean, have you noticed how often you're the good guy?
I'm always the good guy.
Right. And I'm always the good guy.
That can't be possible.
Exactly. But if you look at honesty and compassion,
mm-hmm.
and you ask yourself to to resolve those tensions, I feel like now we're just intrinsically going to get further.
All right, you're having this musician-to-musician conversation with Peter Mulvey. Mm. Where else did the conversation go?
Well, it went everywhere, Mitch, as you will discover. But I wanted to share this one because it's one of my favorite. They're all my favorite episodes, but like this one.
Like, which is your favorite child, right?
I love Peter Mulvey. I just do, you know, and I love my goal with this podcast is to share with other people that I love and their hearts. And so we get to a conclusion that is a source of release for us. And then I just blatantly say, what do you want out of your work? What do you want people to get? And he shares just a beautiful answer. And I think it's a fitting end to this segment.
You know, so you've brought me to a conclusion, which I'm seeing now clearly for the first time, which is if we are talking about economic justice or social justice, our heroes are the comedians.
Yeah.
Like Jon Stewart and John Oliver and Samantha Bee and Larry Wilmore. Like those are the people who have leverage on those things. If we're talking about heart-to-heart justice, mm-hmm. that's where musicians
can,
because comedy is a language of the gut and the head, mm-hmm. and music is a language of the heart.
The heart.
There, we said it.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, then in one short answer then, I love humans that realize that they're part of something bigger.
Yeah.
And you're working in a way, from my vantage point, that appears to be you're aware that there's something bigger and you're shoveling your coal into that fire. You know? What do you want then for people to take away from that work, that coal?
Hopefully that I'm just like them. You know, I'm trying to be all right. I'm trying to be happy. I'm trying to be an all right guy. And I think everyone is exactly there. I really do. Mm-hmm. And I hope that they see themselves in my songs and see that I see them in my songs. Mm. That's all. You know, like we get to come together. It's almost just like a little check-in. And it's a check-in that's sort of implicit rather than an explicit. It's like what an AA meeting does for a lot of people and what church does for a lot of people and what a good, strong friends network, you know, like real friends do for each other, where like you don't even have to say that you're checking in, but you're kind of all just coming together. And we're trying. How's it? Okay, good. Yeah. Doing all right. Good. All right. Good.
Donuts in the basement.
Donuts in the basement. Go in peace. You know? Yeah. That thing.
Yeah.
That thing that, I mean, it's just the human thing, you know, try to help each other through the dark a little bit.
Well, I feel like it's only fitting that we go out with a tune that the two of you actually recorded together. Mike, thanks so much. Tell us what we're hearing.
Well, thanks for having me. It's always nice to be here. And so this is – I have an EP that just came out called the 3 Days EP. And you know, it's four songs. And one of the songs was a song that Peter and I did together. It's actually a Peter Gabriel cover. And this song I was singing one day, and I heard Peter singing the female part, the Kate Bush part. And so this is a song called Don't Give Up, and it's done by Peter Mulvey and I.
Mike Mangione is a Milwaukee area musician, and he's the host of a podcast called Time and the Mystery. He brings us highlights of that podcast every month. He'll do more playing than talking on stage tomorrow night, however, at Lineman's.
This proud land, we grew up strong. We were wanted all along. And I was taught to fight, taught to win. I never thought I could fail. No fight left, though so it seems. I am a man whose dreams have all deserted. I've changed my face, I've changed my name. No one wants you when you lose. Don't give up, cause you have friends. Don't give up, you're not beaten. Don't give up. I know you can make it good. Though I saw it all around, never thought that I
last to go. It is so strange the way.